If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the love and light of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is, your heart is your passport to 2012 and beyond. So, in no time at all, we're getting ready to enter a new level of existence. Are you ready? Are you excited? I sure am. One way or another, we're going to be departing the physical third density and entering into a new form of world perception, world envisioning, world experiencing. And tonight we're going to look at how we can enter that sacred heart, which then forms itself from inside out into the new world that you will then inhabit, so that the inner becomes the outer. And so let's take a deep breath. And as you relax, take your thumb and forefinger and put them together in a little chin mudra, a little circle. And very gently, kind of move your fingers formed in that little circle, that little Om circle, very gently in the area of your thymus and just below your clavicle, which is your bones in your upper chest, just towards the middle of your chest. And very gently sense the energy. When you get to the sacred entrance point for your heart, in my experience, there's a little thrill, a thrilling energy that you sense. So don't poke or probe that area. In fact, when we go off the air, you can play with it a little bit. And because with each person, as I understand it, the entrance into the sacred heart's a little bit different. So you want to be very sensitive to finding your little joy point. It's the real G spot, the God spot, and it's just an ecstatic feeling when you enter the aura of that. Now, the sacred entrance into your heart is formed by you have a physical heart and you also have a spiritual heart. And as I've said before, when the two began to overlap in their auric fields and begin to communicate and speak back and forth, it forms that central overlap, which is the entrance point into the kingdom of heaven within, or the new earth vibration, or the sacred heart space. So again, let's take a deep breath. And gently allow yourself to be guided by the Divine Spirit, by the Christ, right into that sacred heart space. Another way is to just slide in on your breath with intention of love. And as you take a deep breath, where that breath comes to a rest before you inhale, that place. Enter it. immediately you find yourself in the inner kingdom of heaven. It looks like the most beautiful rendition of the earth. Follow me as we progress into the Sacred Heart. There you see meadows and flowers and mountain ranges and beautiful shimmering pools and waterfalls and oceans and beautiful, innocent, sweet animals of all varieties playing and happy children laughing. And everyone is young and healthy and beautiful and vibrant, radiating love and the glory of God. And as you look up, you see the beautiful cosmos, just like in the physical, but without the veil of the ego mind. That's the difference. When you see through the eyes of the heart, you see the kingdom of heaven and the beauty and divinity shining from everything. And when you look through the eyes of the ego mind, you see all the faults and all the things that are wrong with it. So your very perception lets you know where you're parked most of the time. And now we can choose again. We can indeed enter the kingdom of heaven. We can stop the world and get off right now. And it all begins with entering that delicate, tiny little aperture. That is actually the way that is narrow, that few find, that Jesus spoke about. And the broad way that many find that leads to perdition, as he described it, is the broad way of the mind. It is the mental-based, masculine mentality, not masculine to put down men, but that left brain, didactic, harsh, hard mind that has to figure everything out, that doubts, that's cynical, that's sarcastic, that is always defending and arguing against the miraculous and the joyful, the innocent and the pure. That mind is what we must now leave and depart and enter into the new earth. It is a earth within the sacred space of the heart. It is entered within. It is not projected and created without. But once you have entered in, that heart begins to form itself around you as the new earth. It's birthed with your entrance into the Sacred Heart. So each day, find time to be very quiet with your heart space. Sometimes the feelings are so exquisite that you'll find that tears just start to well in your eyes. And the feeling is one of the greatest gratitude. You just find your heart swelling with gratitude and appreciation for everything. You scarcely can form a prayer anymore other than to say, "Thank you, God. I love you, Lord." That is the place that we enter the kingdom of heaven. So again, as we progress into the inner space of the heart, I want you to imagine yourself standing on the green, fresh earth. It has been warmed by the sun, so it feels quite comfortable as you slip your shoes off and dig your toes into the beautiful green grass, filled with beautiful, fragrant wildflowers. Yes, there are puppies, and they're running to lick your feet and ankles, and kittens, and all sorts of beautiful and innocent things that cause you to have great delight. And as you sink your feet into the grass and you feel it warmed by the sun, take a deep breath and draw the love of the earth up through your body. Now send the purest love and gratitude from your heart deep into the earth. And thank this earth for giving you food and shelter and warmth and puppies and kittens and all sorts of things that are delightful, and cool breezes and fragrant rain and the beauty of the changing seasons and the joy you feel on just a lovely, lovely day. Take all of that into you and let it adorn your innermost essence with vibrant energy and health. Feel supported and loved by the earth. And feel in your heart great love in return. Now with another deep breath, lift your gaze into the vastness of the cosmos, the myriad of stars and worlds without end, peopled by wondrous beings, all learning and growing and evolving. Each planet, each star is a divine incarnation that exists as a home for consciousness, to progress and to experience new things. Every single orb that you gaze upon is inhabited in some dimension with life, all created by one God. How wondrous is this? There are beings that live on the sun, great solar angels. There are beings that live on the moon. There are beings that live on every single planet. How vast, how wondrous. And every single one of these orbs sends forth a particular melodic strain of sound, so that when you listen to all of them together, you hear a vast symphony. Everything in creation is praising God. Everything is resounding with the holy names of the Beloved. Realize that every cell in your precious body has a little miniature mini-universe with little solar systems, so that the macrocosm is reflected in the microcosm of the cells of your body. And each of the cells of your body is praising God and emitting a specific, beautiful tone of energy. You are a unique symphony of God. You are a unique thought of love, sent forth in a ray of divine intention from the very heart of God. And within you dwells heaven itself, and the very Lord God of all creation has chosen your heart as his home, as his very throne. Yes, Beloved, the great God of all creation dwells within your heart. So send forth your gratitude and your love into the vastness of the worlds within worlds within worlds of infinite, open-ended, ever-unfolding, glory-to-glorious creation. replicated within you. Yes, you don't have to go anywhere to be everywhere when you have entered your sacred heart. This is the most sacred esoteric teaching that all the ancient ones knew, all of the indigenous elders, all of the elders of the various star systems, the Christic beings of divine light from the divine throne realms, all know of this sacred language of the heart, the language of light and sound, the language of the song of the beloved, the Bhagavad Gita, the song of God, the God's most exquisite symphony, is in the human, the God-man, the one who was created to consciously be aware of God's presence within and without. Man alone was given that great task of revealing God's heart in time and space, and being an emissary and a tributary and a dispenser of the waters of life that we call this precious sacred heart essence. And so from within your innermost heart springs forth that ever-replenishing fountain of life that is the very tree of life dwelling within you. It is that seedling that goes forth into the infinite way as the galactic tree of life that Jesus the Christ has restored to each one of us through the impartation of His Holy Spirit within you and His rebridging us from where we had forgotten all of these things back to where we can remember and have the full revelation of them once again restored in conscious awareness. If we're not conscious of it, then for us it doesn't exist. So that which we want to be conscious of now is birthed by our entrance into the sacred place of the heart, which is also the secret place of the lion. The lion is the Lion of Judah. It is the Christ presence. It is that ardent, courageous heart that is like a lion of power and strength that rises up from within you and keeps extending and giving forth itself. As it does that, it forms what is called the tube torus, which is a donut-shaped energy configuration made of the light and sound fibers of the joyous divine heart essence that replicates all of the full spectrum of color, some colors that we don't even recognize here in this dimension, because it replicates the 12-fold divine colorations of the divine throne realms. And it forms as an energy around your heart as you practice going into that heart space and gradually making that your home, because it's important that you establish yourself there. You enter in, you become familiar with it, and then you learn how to secure that so that you don't go forth anymore into the outer. You don't depart the heart space, and you become a little heart walking around on 2 feet, and your whole body becomes heart space, and then your whole aura, and then it expands until heart is all there is. In fact, in the book Treatise on Cosmic Fire by the Tibetan master Dwal Kul and Alice Bailey, his disciple, you see in that book a a diagram of the earth showing the pranic energies as they flow through the ventricles of the heart. And the earth looks exactly identical to the human heart and how the blood flows through the ventricles and how the pranic energies circulate through that particular organ. So you have all the time in the divine realms the heart of God replicated in the microcosm and the macrocosm. Now, everything flows in creation through light and sound taking specific shape. These shapes are what we call sacred geometry. And it is the combination of becoming a specific divine geometric pattern that enables you to enter a world or a body of understanding or knowledge that matches that form. So you need to be aware that every thought, word, and deed produces a shape. You know, Dr. Emoto from Japan demonstrated the effects of words, intention, thoughts upon water, which he then froze, and when he brought it forth on slides, you could actually see the shape of specific thoughts and intentions that were spoken over or energetically sent into water. The most polluted water could be rendered into beautiful geometric forms of perfection by pronouncing, for example, the name of Christ, or love, or gratitude over that water. Now, the whole science of the effect of sound on malleable matter, like sand or water or whatever, or oil, is called the science of cymatics, C-Y-M-A-T-I-C-S. And you can actually find books upon this particular line of study. I am particularly interested in sharing about the sound of God, the sound current, the living word of God, because our entire body is primarily water in terms of its element. It's 70, and some say as much as 90% water. Now, that water is perfectly structured when you're born, which means it looks like a beautiful, Metatron's cube, a Kabbalistic six-pointed star is what your structured cellular water looks like. And as you begin to eat the food and drink the water, that has been conditioned by people's thought forms, particularly if you eat it without blessing it, then it doesn't have any transformative properties. That's why it's important to bless your food and what you drink before you eat it, because it restructures it into a divine pattern when you express gratitude over your food and the name of God. Now, when you eat consciously and partake of divine essence in a conscious way, it goes into creating health in the body and in the cells. When you discipline your speech so that it is heartfelt, true, sincere, and kindly, coming from the goodness of your heart and the godness of your essence, you structure and keep health in your body. But if you go from day to night grousing and complaining and judging and critiquing and criticizing and speaking negative words, then you're actually speaking death into yourself, and your body begins to age, decline, become diseased and die. That's why it says in the Bible, out of the mouth you speak life or death. Therefore, choose life. And also in the Bible it says, out of the heart proceeds the issues of life. What you deposit in your heart comes out your mouth, and then conditions your experience of life. So if you speak from a vengeful spirit of the ego, which is basically ignorance of your divinity, then of course you're going to create and project from yourself a world that looks very vengeful, negative, dog-eat-dog, and reveals on all sides danger and threat. And that's the ego's version and worldview. That's why we are, as the people of God, to depart that world and not to be of the world, but to enter into the kingdom of God, which is at hand and ready for you to enter, if you've not already done so, and then to live from that, which puts you in a whole different mindset. And you know, after a while, you don't even see the old world. You do not see it. It vanishes, and you no longer notice it. You have entered an entirely new level of existence. The only difference is now, we no longer can remain where we are, because we're in a very dissonant period of vibration. It's like when you're moving in music and you haven't hit a perfect fifth chord and you're in that fourth, it goes into dissonance. And that will cause destruction unless a quick intervention reinserts the proper melodic chord in place. So what's true in music is true in the vibration of the human consciousness. We can't remain in this in between the third and fourth density too very, very long, because everything gets wonky at that point. So we are transitioning now into this fifth full chord, which is a harmonic called the Sacred Heart, or the Living Love, or Living in God's Holy Thoughts, which is an acronym for light. Living in God's Holy Thoughts. Light. Got it? So that is how we become the light in this world, is by living in God's holy thoughts and being the living love. So all of the ancient ones are coming forward at this time to say that we are entering, ready or not, into this next dimension. And many of us have looked to 2012 because of the galactic alignment. But on the other hand, it's not limited to 2012, just sort of gives a nice place for us to come into a consensus agreement that we are changing, ready or not. This is the changing point. And it is time now for us to launch ourselves in one way or another into a new state of being. So the most important thing is to find this inner chamber and enter it. And that is the most important task before each one of us at this time. The second most important task is to develop the skill and to practice the awareness keys that will enable us to remain there and to live from that Sacred Heart space from now on. Now, your very survival and entrance into the next stage of spiritual progression, consciously, your graduation, as it were, requires you to be centered in and living from your Sacred Heart. So all that was created, God actually created from extending His love, His heart. The whole of creation has proceeded from the great cosmic magnet that we call the heart of God. So when man is in his heart space, he will be able to understand genuine divine creation. Until he comes into that state, he's not going to ever understand who is God, and where is God, and why is God, and is there God. Because these things are revealed to the childlike, innocent, and opened heart. It's not revealed to to people who only use it to reinforce their own ego agendas. So when you are in attunement with your sacred heart, you are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And your heart is singing and praying and praising God 24/7 in a continual flowing river of love. And that is the praise that doesn't cease. And that is the prayer that is ongoing. And when you're in that state, you can't tell when you're praising and not praising, or praying or not praying, because your whole life becomes a paean of praise and a glorification of the Father who dwells within you. So you become walking like a conscious Son of God, as Jesus did, who came to set this whole template in place and to model it so we'd get an idea of what it looks like. So you'll see an entirely different world when you're viewing it from this space, this heart space. Now, your heart is your true creative center. And we saw the movie not long ago, The Secret. But the real secret of the universe is not to create from the ego mind, which surely can attract things of a material nature. But it only attracts duality if you're coming from the mind. If you're trying to create from your mind, you will manifest duality, which means you get the good, whatever it was you wanted, but you always have a negativity that comes along with it because you're creating out of polarity. So only the heart can create out of the oneness and create a unified field of grace that does not have the negative polarity with it. So when you create from your heart, you create only the divine. That's why I often phrase it as going for your highest divine destiny. That which would be for your highest good, not just, you know, something that you want out of your mind. Now, if it's of the ego mind, you can tell if it is, because you'll lose your attraction for it at some point. You'll lose interest. Or your so-called love, if it's based on your mind, will turn into disgust, contempt, dislike, or even hatred with time. And this is what we see so often in marriages, where you marry someone, but you don't love them unconditionally. You have a mental agenda behind why you married them. So the mental agenda will always end at some point. And by that, you can tell it was not birthed of truth or of God or of love. The true heart-centered love remains the same, no matter what. It is unconditional. That's what enabled Jesus Christ to, in the midst of the most horrid, degrading torment and torture, say from his cross, "Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do." You know, I love this story in the Bible about Job. The book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible, and the story goes like this. Satan came to God and said, you know, Job was a man of great righteousness that God really favored and had blessed him with everything. But Satan came to God and said, Job only loves you because you have given him wealth and a wonderful wife and wonderful children and all of these things and good health and youth and beauty, but just let me test him, and we'll see how quickly he turns from you and curses you. And so God listened, and he said, "I know that Job loves me. So you can test him for a period of time to prove my point, but you can't kill him." So Satan said, "Okay." So within a short period of time, Job lost his home, his children, all of his possessions, his health. His body was covered with festering boils, and he was miserable. His friends mocked him and laughed at him, and even his wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" Can you imagine your wife saying that to you? You know what Job said? Job said, "Yet though he slay me, still will I love him. Now that was genuine love of God. And of course, when he said that, God demonstrated to Satan that Job truly loved him. And then God restored everything to Job 7 times what he had before, which is what happens. God, everything that you lose, that you think you've lost, God will restore you to you 7-fold and 100-fold and 1,000-fold, but much more than you lost. It always comes back to you in multiples. Remember that. And remember, too, that not one of us can say for certain what will happen in the next minute. What happened in Sumatra, New Orleans, Haiti, Chile, that could happen to any one of us tomorrow, or even tonight, or even before the show ends. So like Job, we may lose everything we have. Can we lose everything and still love and trust God? Can we? If we love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, he will fulfill the desires of our heart, our deepest desires. Rest in the love of God. Now, when you are centered in that heart space, you don't have to go anywhere to be everywhere, and you find everything that you love, that you cherish, that has true value for you. You locate it within your own heart space, within your own resonant field. And living from your heart means that you're cultivating multidimensional awareness also, and learning that all of life is connected and present with you at all times, here and now. Being present fully with where you are and what you're involved with, without losing this sense of greater awareness, is your spiritual exercise to practice. Practice being fully aware when you're going about your daily work, when you're at your job place, when you're preparing your meals, when you're getting dressed, when you wake up in the morning. Remind yourself of who and what you are as a divine being, living and moving and having your being in God, and God dwelling inside you, ready to pour through you whatever you need that will enable you to manifest your highest divine destiny and purpose. You always have the resources to do what God has purposed for you to do. So when you feel a lacking of energy, you have to really look and see if you're doing what God has wanted you to do. Because in God there is fullness of life. There is life more abundant. There is life in all sufficiency, pressed down and running over. There is life beyond our wildest dreams and imagining. All of this is present for those who love God. Beyond our wildest, we cannot conceive of what God has prepared for us, those of us who love God. So it's so very important to live loose. You know, don't clutch and grasp after material things. Everything that God has intended for you to have, you will have. You can't lose it. You can't miss it. You can't bypass it. It's going to find you. God's goodness will pursue you until it overgulfs and takes you over. You're going to be filled with the goodness of God just because God loves you. You're made of the warp and woof of God's heart and God's passion and God's love. And everything the Father has, it is his good pleasure to give to you. So practice remembering your divinity and your higher purpose in the midst of the most mundane activities. In fact, wipe out the concept of spiritual and world, mundane and super mundane. Just wipe it out. It's all God. It's all good. It's all here. and keep your focus on whatever is good and praiseworthy and a good report and good news and uplifting, whatever, whatsoever you can derive of goodness. Keep your focus on that and let the rest go. Don't pay any attention to it. Just ignore it. Don't put energy where you don't want to have an increase in your life. Keep your eyes single and keep it upon the Lord so that your whole being may be full of light. Ask yourself before you respond or make a decision, what is the most loving response here? What would love do? What would Jesus do? And do that. So train yourself to see heaven and the face of God wherever you are and with whomever you are. And like the Mayan greeting, which is so beautiful in Lakish, which means I greet you as another one of myself. So see others, everyone else, as a version of you. In truth, there really isn't anyone else. You always see yourself. If you see negativity in others, it's your own that you're seeing. If you see positivity in others, it's your own that you're seeing. You see only by projection. There's no other sight. You're either seeing through the eyes of your lower mind, your false self or ego, or you're seeing through the eyes of the beloved in your heart. So bring to mind and recall the sacred reality and anchor it in quintessential statements of your essence and purpose, such as, for example, I'm not a body. I am free. I remain as God created me. I am a spiritual being having a temporary human experience. I am simply utilizing my body to communicate the message of one heart, one love, one life. I am divine and ever one with God and all creation. So humanity is required to sound forth a harmonious message, a harmonious melody, which they can do by entering the sacred heart and doing as we have been sharing thus far. Right now, the sound is disharmonious. It's not in harmony with earth or nature or God or one another. That disharmony is called sin. Sin is to miss the mark, completely miss the mark of the divine purpose and excellence for which we are created. How sad to have the power of infinite creation within us and to not be aware of it. Isn't that the hugest missing of the mark you could imagine? So sin is another word for ignorance of you, your divinity. It's ignorance. Another term for it is unconsciousness. So when you're unconscious and ignorant of your divinity, you needlessly perish because only the acts of love are eternal. Everything that is not loving goes back for recycling. So that's why the wages of sin, missing the mark, is death. Only love and love-based actions go into eternal life. That's why the angel had to bar the tree of eternal life from Adam and Eve after they partook of the knowledge of good and evil. They partook of the reptilian rhetoric of wanting to be like God without having the heart of God. They were giving the mental codes of a separative mind. So the fall, the actual fall, was buying into the program of the Nephilim, the reptilians, who said, if you partake of what we are offering to you, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And they bought that rhetoric. Now, that is the original sin. So the restoration is the return to the divine heart, to the heart of God, and letting that ego mind be dissolved into the nothingness from which it came, because it has no eternal life to it. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil is that the whole duality, polarity, negative worlds under the fallen god of the negative realms that we call Kaal or Satan. And we are being delivered from those lower dimensional realms and worlds, which will be going into the dissolving fire at the end of this cycle of manifestation. And we, as the pure wheat, the pure harvested souls of God, will go back into the divine realms of immortal life. We have been saved and restored to the divine kingdom of God. That's what that means in the deeper esoteric understanding, the story of Adam and Eve, which is really the story of the Adamic root race. So we had a time to enjoy this separative mind, if you could call that enjoyment. At least it was educational. But now we cannot go into the higher worlds and take that perspective and that inferior instrument that keeps projecting the Maya and the illusion and the separation and the fear. It's the generation, the generator of all that stuff, and the war and the hatred and all of that. We can't take that into the higher divine consciousness that we're moving into. Now, fortunately, unfortunately, it's the ego mind and the dissonance that's been destroying the Earth's ecosystems, disrupting the weather, polluting the environment, and causing the Earth to react with these terrible catastrophes and proliferation of disease and all of that. And left unchecked, it would have destroyed all life upon Earth. In fact, it's interesting, they're having these shows now on the History Channel showing life without humans, you know, or life after man, I guess they call it. I don't watch it because I don't want to fill my mind with that, but that's what they're showing, what the Earth will, what will happen to the Earth after, you know, it's just allowed to be destroyed by man. Fortunately, the Order of Melchizedek and the Divine Throne Realm Administration and the Office of the Christ have intervened on our behalf through Jesus being sent to assure that ultimately not one single soul shall be lost. The Melchizedeks are the ascension experts. And Jesus, as the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, the very, very Son of God, who came from the very highest divine throne realms, the only one of the divine avatars that ever did that, and the office of the Christ, of which he is the head, are in charge of this whole ascension, transformation of the heart, and ascension and return back into the divine throne realms. And with that, are working many, many of the Tzaddikim, the righteous men and women of God, who are already the redeemed, the saints and the elders of the higher dimensional planes that are often called the masters or the spiritual adepts or the elders or the star elders. There's a vast company that work with Jesus the Christ and the hosts of heaven, which are the angels and the other beings that are cooperating with the divine plan, of which we of the Ashtar Galactic Command would be part of these hosts of heaven or celestial hosts. We're all in service to Jesus the Christ and to the the divine plan of restoration and redemption that he has set forth to transition our world into this next progression into the restored kingdom. Now, the way, of course, that he came to exemplify the way, capital W, which is what the original teaching was called, is through the transformation of the heart and transcending the ego mind, which is projecting the worldview of separation, fear, duality, and destruction. So this is transformed by a supernatural action of the Holy Spirit entering in after Jesus resurrected his body and ascended into his divine body. He actually, and that's the transformed physical, by the way, he actually sent his spirit to indwell each one of us. And that is the energy of God within you that brings the transformation. That's the divine spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. When I keep saying you must learn to have a relationship with God within you and not go out and listen to channels and psychics and secondhand information, but go within. Learn how to commune with God directly through your own heart and spirit. That's why. Because the spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit, and it dwells inside you. It's your own holiness speaking to you seemingly as the inner master, as a seemingly separate energy. But in truth, you are the vehicle of the Holy Spirit. You are the divine spirit of the living God incarnate. You are God's living word in human form. So that's the value of an earth body, a human incarnation, and this time in which we live, we have never had ever such a fortunate time to be alive as we do at this time. Never has it been easier to go home to God. In the Kali Yuga, in this Iron Age, it is said that the easiest way to God, to return to God, is repeating and singing his divine names in love and in joy. That is the way to return to God, is through singing and repeating and praising God's name. In previous ages, it was more difficult. You had to do rituals, or you had to meditate for and do difficult spiritual practices, or there were just various ways that you had in the previous yugas or ages. But in the Kali Yuga, it's the name of God. It's the sound of God. It's the love song that we sing in our heart and through our lips to God. And it's in our innocence that God is best praised. When we lose that mental, clever intellect that thinks it knows everything and doesn't need God, and ego's God out, edges God out, which is the definition that Wayne Dyer gives for the ego, edging God out is a good one. We can't do that, but we can sure think we're doing that in our pride and our arrogance. So it's a beautiful topic, isn't it? I think there's nothing I love to speak about more than the Sacred Heart. So we come to this process like a little child. And this is why so often our lives just beat us bloody until finally we give up. And sometimes people have to go into the absolute depths before they call on God. But whatever it takes to get you to fall on your face and on your knees and to call upon God, it's got to be the greatest blessing that enters your life. But if we come without that, then of course it's even better. But if you can come in the innocence of a little child, just innocent, they never are concerned about whether or not they're worthy or anything of that nature. They just come very open and innocent in all of their weakness, in all of their lack of abilities. They just present themselves in full confidence. And you do that and ask God to save you and to give you a heart of love through grace. That's it. That simple approach will start that necessary process of heart transformation. It's never too late. God is not bound by time or anything you've ever thought you've done. It's all illusion anyway. It doesn't mean anything. None of that matters to God. You come as you are, and He takes you where you are and gives you everything He's got. So basically, your consciousness will determine how you're going to fare in these times that are upon us, and 2012, whenever we go into this irrevocable shift into the new dimension, whether it's preceded, like the Mayans have said, by 30 hours of darkness and a polar shift, or whether it's a shift of the grid field, or a massive inundation suddenly with the ice shelves collapsing and the water lines raising worldwide, or a massive earthquake. We don't really know what's going to catapult us to where we really can't sustain life much longer on the surface of the earth. So now is the time to just, as I've said in just about every show, prioritize love. Okay? Nothing else is important. And I mean that literally. Nothing else is important. Trust God for everything. I don't care what it is. Trust God for your money. Trust God for your daily food. Trust God for the roof over your head. Trust God for the clothes on your back. Trust God for the money to get to work in your car and the gasoline. Trust God in everything. And do the best you can to be resourceful in the ideas you're given and the creative abilities and talents that God has inspired in you. Do everything as if it all depended on you, but leave all of the outcome in God's hands. Can you do that? You will be very, very wonderfully provided for. I can promise you that. So, again, the ego sees difference. The heart sees the oneness. Now, every thought and emotional feeling produces a specific shape. Remember that. So, try to make your thoughts circular. Circular, again, the curve is the yin. It's the feminine energy. It's the energy of empathy and compassion. It's the energy of the Anahi. It's the energy of the divine Shekinah. It's soft. It's flowing. It's Aikido. It's the Zen. It's the, what do they call it? The Tao. It's all of those things that flow with life as it is. That's the new energy field that we're moving into. And the grid that we're entering into is circular. So, we can't fit something that's square into a circle unless it is transformed by the phi ratio. Okay, what's the phi ratio? The phi ratio is the divine constant behind every single perfection of form and perfection of consciousness. It's where you take a square and you turn it into a circle of equal proportions. And that is the divine sacred geometry of what we're doing now. But the way it works in the grid field, the third dimensional grid field is made up of squares. The transformation that we're going through forms into a pentagon. And from the pentagon, we move into the Christ consciousness grid, which follows the exact sequencing in the Fibonacci sequence, which is the sequence that you see visually replicated in the Nautilus seashell. Looks like it's also called the golden mean. So in that sequencing, you go from 3, 5, 8. So we're moving from the third dimension, which has a square shape that designates it, into the 5, which has a pentagon shape that designates it, into the Christ consciousness grid, which is an eightfold star, or a circular unified field, which we call the Sacred Heart Resonance, or the unified field, or the consciousness of divine oneness. See how that works? Now, in the Fibonacci sequence, you have 3, 5, 8, 13, and what may happen, you see, is that some people, some very rare people, may possibly make it to the 13th level, which would be the divine absolute, it of itself, about which we could say absolutely nothing, because we can't comprehend it from that level. So there is that progression now. I speak primarily to those who are the closet Christs, who are getting ready to move from the third into the fifth, into the eighth dimension, manifestation of sacred geometric consciousness. And I've also found that the five platonic solids, you can look this up in your sacred geometry books, replicate truth, righteousness, peace, love, and nonviolence in order. So that the consciousness, as you practice these five human values that Sai Baba speaks about so much, actually moves you through that dimensional corridor sequentially into the progressive geometric energy shapes that your consciousness needs to fit into in order to enter into the new understanding, the new consciousness, the kingdom of heaven. That's why you can't fake it. In these levels, you either fit or you don't. You can't get through the door if you don't fit. So it's very important that you take this time, this little teensy bit of time that we have left, where the world is still fairly intact, to really, really think your life, and really watch what you're doing. Sai Baba often gives people watches, and the watch is an acronym for W, watch your words, A, watch your actions, T, watch your thoughts, C, watch your character, H, watch your heart. W, A, D, C, H. So write that down somewhere, put it up on your daily mirror. Whatever it takes, remind yourself of how important it is to create sacred shapes, sacred geometric, heart-blessed shapes in your words, in your thoughts, your actions, your character, your heart space, and to be filled with that divine matrix of energy. Now, just as positive sounds, thoughts, and words, intentions, and emotions, and feelings produce beautiful sacred geometric shapes, negative expressions produce chaotic and ugly imagery, and no sacred geometry. This would include gossiping, slander, criticizing, judging, passing negative opinions, cursing, foul language, language that portrays falsehood, ignorance, and negativity. And these produce hell, hellish states within, and hellish worlds without. They produce wars and conflicts, and nothing good can come out of them at all. They are the wages of sin that lead to death. So depart them from now on. Don't go there. Just ask the Holy Spirit. I often ask the Holy Spirit to put a check on my tongue, put a bit in my mouth like a horse, and keep a tight rein on me. and give me a sharp jerk if I begin to speak or say things that are not your will and are not going to build up the people of God that you have appointed me to speak to. So the patterns of expression that we use habitually create the world that we are holding in place around us. And an ego mind projected world lacks love, beauty, order, and harmony, and it is diseased. A heart-centered expression, however, produces a world where you see the beauty and notice the love and oneness of all life and experience the bliss that comes from that sense of belonging to the oneness of all life. And you will see through your wholeness and holiness, and you will notice the wholeness and the holiness of others when you shift your worldview. It's amazing how you just don't notice an ego unless you're in an ego. It's the ego that sees egos, and it's the God that sees God, and it's the Christ within you that sees the Christ in others, and it's the goodness and virtue in you that sees the goodness and virtue in others. You see how that works? So again, your consciousness takes on the form of specific geometric shapes, and the shapes determine what information and level of consciousness and world you can enter and inhabit. Big, 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 big key. So this is why not everyone resonates with every kind of teacher or teaching. Each person resonates with a teacher or a body of teaching that most closely represents their vibratory wavelength, their geometric shape of consciousness, and what they're able to absorb. Some people can't absorb things because they don't have the space of the correct geometric proportion to receive of that. So that's why, you know, truth is really protected from people who are not ready to receive it or who would misuse it. They just simply are not privy to that information. In fact, it's invisible to them. They're completely unconscious of everything except what they have a vibratory affinity for, whether that's good or negative. So we only can look to ourselves and the choices we have made for our state where we find ourselves now. Thank heavens we do have Jesus who is ready. He's the only master who did not die. You know, I watched a film about Buddha the other night, and Buddha died when he was 80 years old, and Krishna died, and all of these ascended masters, they all died. You know, there's graves for them, and although they were able to, through their spiritual light quotient, raise their vibration to exist on another level or dimension, they did not immortalize and transcend death through resurrection through the power of the Holy Spirit like Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth is the only one that did that. That's why he is the eternal high priest after the order of Melchizedek, because you only can elect another high priest for that order after the death of the present one. See how that works? So Jesus is alive. That's why he appears to people all over the world. He is doing that everywhere. I told you, I had a physical face-to-face encounter with Jesus when I was in Glastonbury. I told you that in 1992. And he told us to go travel up to Inverness in Scotland, because the February of that year, there was going to, or of 1993, there was going to be an influx of souls incarnating who carried Christ consciousness, and the grid was not prepared there to receive of them. In other words, there were not enough light workers in that higher divine grid consciousness that would make the grid capable of allowing their entrance. You see, that's why it's so important for light workers to be in the highest state of consciousness that they can possibly exemplify. Because your state of consciousness often is the entrance point for God's supernatural miracles and grace into your neighborhood, or into your apartment building, or into your neighborhood complex, or whatever it is that you've got going there. Your aura can extend for miles if you're an enlightened being. Get the point? Really important. Where you live and how you live. There's always a very profound reason why you are in a specific position, country, and location on this planet. So bear in mind how important your consciousness is in terms of your area, your neighborhood, your city, your county, your state, your province, whatever it is you've got going. And if there's not much intelligent life where you are living, in other words, if the majority of people are still asleep, you may be the only person in that whole area that's awake. Think of how much light you carry for God to entrust you with that area. That's why it's so important also to stay, unless you're divinely guided not to, to stay in your homeland. You are born in your country for a reason. And when you have that dharma, you have to really check and make sure it's God's guidance if you think of moving out of that area. Sometimes we get restless and we want to take things in our own hands. But we are where we are for very, very specific reasons. Same thing for your job. You aren't there to make a paycheck. You are in your job because God put you there. You were posted to that particular coordinate of energy, to that pool of people. You are there to be the Christ, the kingdom come, the will of God being done in that environment. And you are that energy matrix that transmits while you're there the codes of living light and living sound to all of those employees that you work with, to those customers that you interact with, to even the product that you lay your hands on. Your hands convey the essence of your heart on whatever you touch. That's why certain objects are venerated as relics when saints have owned them, or are imbued with the shakti of great yogic masters. Everything you touch for either the kingdom of glory of God, or you touch for damnation. And I'm sorry to be so blunt, but that's really what it boils down to. You're either an agent of the Supreme God or not. And now is the time that we choose into it with every thought, with every deed, with every movement of our heart. And no, we don't have time to be lazy and to go unconscious for any reason. There's no more time for that. We can't go unconscious anymore. So these are things that I pray that you will take to heart and contemplate them. I hope that you subscribe to BBS Radio so that you can listen again and again and download these seminars. Because these seminars will give you the very keys to consciousness transformation through the office of the Christ and the order of Melchizedek, which is the most important thing you could possibly energetically take on board at this time. If you resonate with me, I'm not everyone's cup of tea, but if you resonate with the energy transmission that comes through this instrument that I am, then this is for you. If it speaks to you, if it resonates as truth, if the information works for you, then use it. And it doesn't matter the instrument as long as the information works for you. But discern, always discern the information. Don't take anything I say or anything anyone says except for Jesus Christ as the gospel truth. Only Jesus Christ is the person who ever said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father save by me. Who could say that except Jesus the Christ? And we know he is not a liar. We know that he had not come to earth on any human personal agenda. We know he got absolutely nothing from his incarnation personally except for a hard time and a lot of abuse. So he must be who he says he is. And he must be able to do what he claims he can do, because look at the billions of people on this planet that have been touched and transformed by him. And the billions more that will be touched and transformed by him. So again, I'm really excited about the time that we're in. I feel guarded in a sense that things are changing very rapidly. We have been told by all of the indigenous elders that everything that is based on that old ego, dog-eat-dog, miserable, competitive, negative model, it's going down. The financial, the political, all of it, it's going down the tubes. What can we do? Well, I think the best thing we can do is move into our heart space and to begin to project the world from inside out. I believe that's the only way we can bring any kind of transformation is through us, from within us, and then it becomes the new paradigm, which then spreads exponentially like the anointing. It spreads, it gets off on people, and it only takes a certain, a sprinkle of yeast to make the whole loaf of bread rise. So you don't need a lot of that. You just need to have a sprinkling of light workers everywhere, living from the heart, the renewed sacred heart space, to bring a planetary, radical shift for all people. So, think about it. Now, whatever you do, Jesus gave the Course in Miracles for this time. That course alone will teach you how to be in this space I'm discussing. Another teaching is a wonderful book by Glenda Green, Love Without End. And Jesus describes in there the heart space and the heart resonance field and all of that. There's a whole Heart Math Institute that produces information on the heart signature and how to generate the heart energetic signature. There's the teaching of my dear friend Dwindolo Melchizedek on the language of the heart that the Kogi tribe in Colombia is teaching him. And he's all about teaching now the heart. He has a book out on that now. There are certain ones that are bringing this energy of the Sacred Heart, the teaching of the Sacred Heart, out now on the planet. Another one is Gary Renard and his wonderful books, which are about the Course in Miracles and the Power of Forgiveness. Greg Braden, the Isaiah Effect, is another very powerful book about the heart resonance and all of that. The God Code is another one by Greg Braden. So there are materials out there that you can study that will assist you now to keep in place this teaching and to move with it and to find, and also the teaching of my teacher, John Roger. Perfect teaching and the trainings, the insight transformational trainings that he founded. Another wonderful way to make a radical shift into the loving heart and the centered heart and living from the heart, which are all part of the insight process. So there are vehicles out there that will quickly catapult you into some reference points for generating this energy of heart space and moving with it. The times that are immediately before us, Sai Baba has said that only those of love will physically survive. All the rest will be swept away in the chaos, like chaff in the wind. But Sai Baba has said that all who are firmly rooted in devotion and the love of God will be protected, that our own God realization will protect us. Well, again, that's another way of saying living from the heart out is the energy field that surrounds our body and protects us, and that we are to be busily engaged in loving and serving everyone around us. That's what we need to be busy doing now. So look at your work, your everyday work, as your ministry, as your assignment from God to bring love to the people that you interact with in the simplest of ways. Being a good example, for one thing. It's not preaching. It's being the embodiment of the love and peace and joy of God. And all such people who live in those states, Sai Baba has said, will be protected. Now, that is what it means to enter the kingdom. And as you live from the kingdom, he began to import the kingdom of God wherever you walk. You claim the kingdom of heaven with every step because you are God's kingdom come in that heart space and heart resonant field. So you are anchoring God's new Jerusalem upon earth. Jerusalem means the place of peace, or Prashanti Nilayam in Telugu means the same thing, the place of peace. What is the place of peace? The kingdom of heaven within you. It's not an outer city called Jerusalem, although it could be. That could be a physical manifestation of it at some point, and it may be. But the holy city of peace is the citadel of your own soul, your heart, your innermost being. So get in there and see how it transforms what you see outwardly. So, I think we're going to go out tonight chanting Anai Hu, because that is the chant that brings in that sacred empathy of the oneness of all life. Deep breath. God bless you from my heart and the heart of all into your heart. Deepest love, Adonai.